Today is the 22nd day of May. Welcome. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. It is great to be here with you today. Every day is a chance. Every day is an opportunity. And every day we get to be together is a good thing. So glad to be here with you today. As we turn the page, take the next step forward into the book of 2 Samuel. We finished 1 Samuel yesterday with the death of King Saul on Mount Gilboa, and his sons, the princes, they have been killed in battle. So the book of 1 Samuel introduces us to Samuel, the final judge of Israel, and a prophet who anoints Israel's first king, King Saul, who we learned a lot about. He has significant paranoid and insecurity issues for lots of reasons. And the truth is, most of these things are caused by brokenness, by trauma. But we can find ourselves quite clearly in Saul if we look, and so we did. We also met David and his obscurity to infamy as he kills the giant Goliath and becomes very famous, unsettling the king. And so David has to stay quite a bit alert and on the run from King Saul. So 2 Samuel begins, and we won't do this kind of big flyover because 1 and 2 Samuel and 1 and 2 Kings, remember, were all one manuscript at one time. So the division here isn't this massive delineation of completely different authors, completely different genres and stuff. We're just truly picking up right where we left off. It's just at a specific point in the story. This is the point now where Saul, the first king of Israel, is dead. And this is what happens next. Because David has been a figure in this story, so what happens with him? That's where we're going. 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 1 through 2, verse 11. After the death of Saul, David returned from striking down the Amalekites and stayed in Ziklag 2 days. On the third day, a man arrived from Saul's camp with his clothes torn and dust on his head. When he came to David, he fell to the ground to pay him honor. "Where have you come from?" David asked him. He answered, "I have escaped from the Israelite camp." "What happened?" David asked. "Tell me." "The men fled from the battle," he replied. "Many of them fell and died, and Saul and his son Jonathan are dead." Then David said to the young man who brought him the report, "How do you know that Saul and his son Jonathan are dead?" "I happened to be on Mount Gilboa," the young man said. "And there was Saul leaning on his spear with the chariots and their drivers in hot pursuit. When he turned around and saw me, he called out to me, and I said, 'What can I do?' He asked me, 'Who are you?' An Amalekite, I answered. Then he said to me, 'Stand here by me and kill me. I'm in the throes of death, but I'm still alive.' So I stood beside him and killed him, because I knew that after he had fallen, he could not survive. And I took the crown that was on his head and the band on his arm and have brought them here to my lord." Then David and all the men with him took hold of their clothes and tore them. They mourned and wept and fasted till evening for Saul and his son Jonathan, and for the army of the Lord and for the nation of Israel, because they had fallen by the sword. David said to the young man who brought him the report, "Where are you from?" "I am the son of a foreigner, an Amalekite," he answered. David asked him, "Why weren't you afraid to lift your hand to destroy the Lord's anointed?" Then David called one of his men and said, "Go, strike him down." So he struck him down, and he died. For David had said to him, "Your blood be on your own head. Your own mouth testified against you when you said, 'I killed the Lord's anointed.'" David took up this lament concerning Saul and his son Jonathan, and he ordered that the people of Judah be taught this lament of the bow. It is written in the book of Jashar, "A gazelle lies slain on your heights, Israel. How the mighty have fallen. Tell it not in Gath, proclaim it not in the streets of Ashkelon, lest the daughters of the Philistines be glad, lest the daughters of the uncircumcised rejoice. Mountains of Gilboa, may you have neither dew nor rain. May no showers fall on your terraced fields, for there the shield of the mighty was despised, the shield of Saul no longer rubbed with oil. From the blood of the slain, from the flesh of the mighty, the bow of Jonathan did not turn back. The sword of Saul did not return unsatisfied. Saul and Jonathan, in life they were loved and admired, and in death they were not parted. They were swifter than eagles. They were stronger than lions. Daughters of Israel, weep for Saul, who clothed you in scarlet and finery, who adorned your garments with ornaments of gold. How the mighty have fallen in battle. Jonathan lies slain on your heights. I grieve for you, Jonathan, my brother. You were very dear to me. Your love for me was wonderful, more wonderful than that of women. How the mighty have fallen. The weapons of war have perished." In the course of time, David inquired of the Lord, "Shall I go up to one of the towns of Judah?" he asked. The Lord said, "Go up." David asked, "Where shall I go?" "To Hebron," the Lord answered. So David went up there with his two wives, Ahinoam of Jezreel, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. David also took the men who were with him, each with his family, and they settled in Hebron and its towns. Then the men of Judah came to Hebron, and there they anointed David king over the tribe of Judah. When David was told that it was the men from Jabesh, Gilead, who had buried Saul, he sent messengers to them to say to them, "The Lord bless you for showing this kindness to Saul, your master, by burying him. May the Lord now show you kindness and faithfulness, and I too will show you the same favor because you have done this. Now then, be strong and brave, for Saul, your master, is dead, and the people of Judah have anointed me king over them." Meanwhile, Abner, son of Ner, the commander of Saul's army, had taken Ishbosheth, son of Saul, and brought him over to Mahanaim. He made him king over Gilead, Asheri, and Jezreel, and also over Ephraim, Benjamin, and all Israel. Ishbosheth, son of Saul, was 40 years old when he became king over Israel, and he reigned 2 years. The tribe of Judah, however, remained loyal to David. The length of time David was king in Hebron over Judah was 7 years and 6 months. John 12, 20 through 50. Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. "Sir," they said, "we would like to see Jesus." Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip in turn told Jesus. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it, and will glorify it again. The crowd that was there and heard it said it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus said, "This voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out, and I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. The crowd spoke up. "We have heard from the law that the Messiah will remain forever, so how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Then Jesus told them, "You are going to have the light just a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, before darkness overtakes you. Whoever walks in the dark does not know where they are going. Believe in the light while you have the light, so that you may become children of light." When he had finished speaking, Jesus left and hid himself from them. Even after Jesus had performed so many signs in their presence, they still would not believe in him. This was to fulfill the word of Isaiah the prophet, "Lord, who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" For this reason they could not believe, because as Isaiah says elsewhere, "He has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, so that they can neither see with their eyes nor understand with their hearts, nor turn, and I would heal them." Isaiah said this because he saw Jesus' glory and spoke about him. Yet at the same time, many, even among the leaders, believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they would not openly acknowledge their faith for fear they would be put out of the synagogue, for they loved human praise more than praise from God. Then Jesus cried out, "Whoever believes in me does not believe in me only, but in the one who sent me. The one who looks at me is seeing the one who sent me. I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. If anyone hears my words, but does not keep them, I do not judge that person. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. There is a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my words. The very words I have spoken will condemn them at the last day. For I did not speak on my own, but the Father who sent me commanded me to say all that I have spoken. I know that his command leads to eternal life. So whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say." Psalm 118, 19 through 29. Open for me the gates of the righteous. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. The Lord has done it this very day. Let us rejoice today and be glad Lord, save us. Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord we bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine on us. With boughs in hand, join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his love endures forever. Proverbs 15, 27, and 28. The greedy bring ruin to their households, but the one who hates bribes will live. The heart of the righteous weighs its answers, but the mouth of the wicked gushes evil. Oh, how the mighty have fallen. That is what we hear in 2 Samuel today from David as we began 2 Samuel today. And our attention now turns toward David as he grieves for a lost king, a lost father-in-law, who wanted nothing more than to kill him. And David's humble posture and his leadership contrasts starkly with Saul's. And that will become more and more apparent and more compelling as we move further into the story. So watching both of these men, Saul and David, throughout their lives is remarkably revealing about our own lives and character. So we know about King David. We know David will become king. What we should notice now is that Saul's death did not immediately make David king of Israel. David moved to the city of Hebron, where he was then made king of the tribe of Judah, and that's the tribe from which he came. So meanwhile, one of Saul's remaining heirs, because three of his sons, Abinadab, Malchishua, and Jonathan, were killed with Saul in that battle. So one of Saul's remaining heirs, Ishbosheth, was proclaimed king of Israel. So you see, we got a situation brewing here. David wasn't heir to the throne, and it's a monarchy now. And so the house of Saul, is supposed to rule and reign. So we will have to see how this plays out. Then in the Gospel of John, we're moving further into the story of the final days of Jesus. And we see the reality of the situation descending on him. He says, My soul is deeply troubled. Should I pray, Father, save me from this hour? But it is this hour is the very reason I came. Bring glory to your name. So we can see that he's feeling the weight of it completely. To the very end, confusion swirled around Jesus, even though his words awakened the souls of those who heard him. And his ministry confirmed that he was sent from God, truly. The traditions into which he came among the Hebrew people were so deeply ingrained that it was nearly impossible to penetrate. Ironically, Jesus' ambition isn't to destroy the traditions. He's living within and fulfilling them. He's also critiquing them in the process. Most of the people just didn't understand. And that's what Jesus was speaking into today. Like the light, my light. I am the light. My light will shine just a little longer for you. walk in this light while you can, so that the darkness doesn't overtake you. Those who walk in the darkness can't see where they're going. Put your trust in the light while there's still time. Then you can become children of the light. So the issues confronting Jesus are still here. A gospel has been handed down over a couple of thousand years. But over that time, people have created traditions around it. And while we have a rich heritage and tradition in the faith, the rituals and traditions have enormous value. As human beings, we relate to ritual and tradition. But the ceilings we place on the traditions, those are not helpful. When we think we got the whole formula perfect and it's indestructible, that's when Jesus comes to tear down our ceilings. Like, the Father will never conform to what we think we know. Like, he has certainly condescended himself to come and be among us and know us. But he will not be constrained by what we think that we know. So when we get stretched, and our faith gets stretched, and it gets stretched to the point of doubt, and I know that of which I speak, like we do, right? When we get stretched to the point where we doubt, we're not doing something wrong. We're reaching beyond these ceilings because they're not enough. This is how we grow, to reach beyond where we are. So as we consider our doubts and our fears and our assumptions about our faith, let's think about whether we're any less confused than the people who were hearing Jesus. And this forces us to face whether or not what we've been told is actually true. And then we're forced to reach beyond ourselves to God alone. Jesus told this confused crowd, "I came as a light to shine in this dark world so that all who put their trust in me won't be in the dark anymore." That's the offer. And that offer is for everybody. But it will require us to reach beyond the ceiling we placed on our faith. It'll force us to finally realize there is no ceiling. So Holy Spirit, come. Because we want control. We want to understand how it works. And kind of reverse engineer and understand how life is supposed to work and faith is supposed to work and relationships with you and with our spouses and our family. Like, how do we know when this is done right? And so we create things that have meaning. Some of those are rituals and traditions. Some of those are activities and habits that create bonds and create meaning. And this is very beautiful. Until it becomes like a cage. Until it becomes something that wraps itself around our faith. And we think that what we know is all there is. And you are so far beyond that. There is no ceiling. Help us to look beyond. Look beyond the pain. Look beyond the brokenness, look beyond the trauma, look beyond the fear, reach beyond the anxiety, reach beyond the depression. These are ceilings that feel like they have us crushed in. Help us to reach beyond these things to you. You said you came as a light to shine in this dark world so that all who put their trust in you will no longer remain in the dark. Yes. We say yes. We reach beyond the darkness toward you. Beyond what we think we know. We reach towards you and ask, Spirit of Truth, lead us into all truth. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
From Junk to Treasure, this is Double Dabber Danny in St. Petersburg, Florida. And sister, I just lift you up to the throne of grace. Lord, you know what she is going through right now. You know her struggles. You know her health situation. So, Lord, we speak the name of Jesus over From Drunk to Treasure. We lift her up to you, Lord. You are the God of healing. You are the God of miracles. Lord, we pray for divine intervention in her life. We pray that she may be a living testimony to your love, your healing, and your grace. Lord, we thank you for our sister From Drunk to Treasure. And we lift her up into your hands. Lord, we give you all the praise, all the honor, all the glory. In the mighty, matchless name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Good morning, Dab family. This is one traveling chick from Texas. I'm popping on here real quick to request a prayer for myself. It's been about a year now. I've been going through this transition in my life where I lost work, and even though I am working, it's just not enough to pay all my finances. But God has made provision month after month. I feel like I'm going through a daily bread time of my life where He promises that He'll be my daily bread. But I just wanted some prayer because I feel like I'm in a holding pattern. I feel like I'm not progressing. I feel like I'm just existing, which I know I'm not. I know I'm not. But I'm just asking prayer. If you can just pray with me and pray for me that God's promises are just true and revealed in my life. At the beginning of the year, He gave me, Matthew 11, 28, to rest in Him. And then about a few weeks ago, one of our dad brothers came on and he read Isaiah 43, 2 and 3, and that stuck with me. So I know God is with me. I know He hears me. It's just tired. It's becoming tiring. I retired last year. I have yet to see a penny of my pension. Work in a new position, hardly what I was making while I was working for the federal government. So again, God has been my daily bread. So Dab family, just pray for me. Thank you all in advance. One traveling chick in Texas. Love y'all.
Hi, this is Mark Durr. I'm calling on behalf of my wife, Kim. She was recently diagnosed with breast cancer. We have four daughters, and I just lift her up in prayer to the community. You may pray for her for a quick recovery and a long, long, long life. Praise Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Hi, this is Phil, just arrived now in North Carolina, and I want to pray for Carla from New Hampshire and all of the other caregivers out there, including myself. Carla, when you called in, you said that you were just simply tired. I feel you, my sister. I do. I really do. That resonated with me so deeply. And I want to say to you that God sees us and He hears us and He knows all about every detail of every situation, every circumstances that we go through. And so join me, Dabbers, as I pray for Carla, myself, and all the other caregivers. Father, in the name of your son, Jesus, Lord, I come boldly to the throne of your grace. I pray for every caregiver out there in the DAB community. And I know sometimes our circumstances, the assignment that we are in at this particular time in our life, they seem so overwhelming. But you asked us to come. You told us we could come. And so here we are. Our eyes are on you. Our hearts are turned toward you to receive the grace, to receive the help, to receive everything that we need at the hand of you. And so thank you, Lord, that we are strong in the Lord and in the power of your might. We gain strength because we are joined to you. And so today, my dear Carla and all the other caregivers out there, let's be encouraged to keep looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. God bless you, my dear sister. Love you.
This is Zena, God's Princess Warrior from Minnesota, calling regarding Rev P-Dog. I listened to your recording and just feel for you and just want to pray for you. Oh, Lord, we just lift up Rev and just pray that you will touch him, Father. You know him from the top of his head to the balls of his feet and all the cancer throughout his body. Lord, thank you that you are in control. Thank you that you are our great physician and that we can rejoice in the cancer that you have miraculously removed and that puzzled the doctors. We just praise you and thank you. We know that's a miracle. Now we lift Rev up regarding the remaining four different cancers that he currently has throughout his body, Lord. He's had to step down from ministry, which I know is very hard and difficult. And I just pray that you will comfort him regarding that and let him know that he may have stepped down, but he can still minister to people through the example that he has during this cancer diagnosis. Lord, help us to run the race that you set before us with eternity in view. And I just praise you and thank you for what you've done and what you will continue to do in Rev's life, Father. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is Zena, God's Princess Warrior, Minnesota, Minnesota. And Rapture.
Hi, Daily Audio Bible. This is Nancy calling from Medina, New York. It's Wednesday, the night, the 20th. My daughter-in-law asked me yesterday to pray for a friend of hers. And this friend, actually, she had worked with her at another job, previous job, and she actually had called her and asked for prayer because she knew that she was, like, religious, I guess she said. So that was good that she thought to reach out to my daughter-in-law. Anyways, her name, the girl's name is Lynette, and she just found out that she has brain cancer. So if you can pray for my daughter-in-law's friend, Lynette, with his brain cancer, would really be appreciated. Thanks so much. Have a great day. Bye. Love you.